the verse, but I'll try to fill in the gaps for you. As we start this morning, I'd like to thank Andy for running sound for me this morning, and I'm glad to see him here this morning. He's been working a lot, so hug his neck on your way out. But as you're turning there, again, pastor's out, so keep him in your prayers, and he will be back Wednesday and Sunday and from there on out. So 1 Chronicles 12:22, I'm going to read verses 22 and 23 and then jump down to 32 and 33. So verse 22, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. And these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him according to the word of the Lord. People getting ready to fight for David, they were ready armed. They didn't come to be armed. They were ready armed. Jumping down to verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were in their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all the instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank and were not double-hearted. Moving down to verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all of Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were with one heart to make David king. What we have at this time is a picture of what God wants to do in the church today. But it's going to take men and women of war, men and women that know what time it is, men and women that are ready armed with the weapons that God has given us. It's going to take helpers of the war, men and women who understand what God is doing in this time. Church, it's never going to be a majority, but there's always going to be enough. It's never going to be the majority, but God is going to provide. God is going to send the troopers, and it's always going to be enough. Today, in the body of Christ, we're dividing into two camps, even as it was in the days of Saul. One camp promoting the house of Saul, a type of flesh, a type of carnal Christianity. The other, the house of David, David being our heavenly Jesus, those who would make Jesus king, those who would make David king over Israel. This camp of David understands what God is doing. This camp is a camp that is spiritual and wants to promote Christ over all, over any religion, over any of man's plan, that wants to promote relationship with Christ above all else. Again, a minority, but with God behind it, this group will do more than anyone else has done. With God behind us, church, we're going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. My two purposes in this message is for you, the church, you, the listener, you by CD, to determine what camp are you joined to this morning? What camp are you staying in? What camp are you loyal to? If you're joined to the camp that is promoting David, then we're exhibiting the attributes of David's army. If we're joined to the camp of Saul, we're going to be promoting what Saul is promoting. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. Lord, that you can open up your word to us. Lord, that you can move in ways, in seconds, in moments that we as men can only do, can only think about doing in a lifetime. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would send the teacher this morning, that your Holy Spirit would send the preacher this morning. Lord, that you would open up our hearts, that you would open up our minds, Lord Jesus, that this word would become real to us, that you would focus us in for a few moments on what you're going to do in our lives and in our church, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And again, I ask that the Holy Spirit would do the work this morning. I thank you. In the time frame of our text, David is running from Saul, has been concluded by the death of Saul and his sons with the battle with the Philistines. At this point in time, the people of Israel have to make a choice, as much do today in the church. We have to make a choice. They have to choose to continue to exalt and push forward the house of Saul, or to make Saul into something, to continue in the way that they're going, or they have to make a choice to turn to David, their true king, their true ruler, their true anointed one over Israel. The house of Saul was established having been given a chance by God to do the right thing. As many churches today try to do the right thing. They try to do this by many different acts, but they try to go out and they try to do the right thing. But Saul here, he did the wrong. He did the wrong. In essence, the house of Saul represents religion today, a misrepresentation of what God is like, what God asks of humanity, and what God can do for humanity, what God can do in our hearts and in our lives. It's a place that's not happy. It's not fulfilling. And it's not secure. It's a place of flesh. We can go out and we can do, and we can want, and we can keep busy, but church, are we happy? Are we happy? Has God given us the joy that He's promised us? It's a place where men promote peoples. They promote promotion. They promote titles. They promote, I'm doing this, or he's doing that. They promote finances above the Word of God. They promote, you give me this and I'll do that. Or you pay this much and God will do this. God will pay off your house. God will pay off all your... God will do something for you because of the amount that you give. And they promote things of this world, things of the flesh, above the things of God. Above the true reason why Jesus came into this world. This church is the house of Saul. The house of Saul being established is always going to be difficult to be dislodged, to be relocated, to be overthrown. And to this day, it reigns in the world. Religion will always attract more adherence to it than the true house of Jesus Christ, or in this case, the house or the camp of David. The house of David is the house where the Spirit of God reigns free. We're free to worship. We're free to come in. We're free to let God work and move in our life. We're free to have liberty. We're free to let the Holy Spirit perform liberties in our life to free us from the bondage that this world puts us in. But I believe today that the time of the house of Saul is almost over, church. The time of the house of Saul is almost over. The opportunity to make Jesus king, to make David king, if you will, to make David supreme is upon us. The house of Saul is coming to an end. In religion, in man's religion, Jesus is not supreme. In the church last mentioned in Revelation, we find Christ where? Outside, knocking, asking to come in. Jesus is not supreme there. But he is supreme in the hearts and lives of those pursuing him with a whole heart, pursuing him with a pure heart, pursuing him with all of their mind and all of their soul. They don't want religion, they want relationship. They don't want religion of man-made things. They don't want religion that man has come up with. They want true relationship with Christ. They've been instructed properly. This church has been instructed properly. They've been instructed to go out to do the things of God, to follow after the things of God. The choice was then as it is now. Do we go to the house of Saul, the house of flesh, the house of religion, the house of activity, the house where things are going on, where we're keeping busy? Or do we pursue Christ in a living and real relationship? Do we make Saul king? Do we allow Saul to reign and rule and dominate our lives? Or do we allow Christ his proper place, his proper standing in our hearts and lives? In studying this message, I was listening to the commentary and studying some commentary and listening to Brother Larson teach on this. And he brought out something to me. And it's not doctrine. It's not something that you have to believe. It's not something that you have to put your faith in. It's not something that is coming out of the text that we're reading. But I had to draw the conclusion that David would actually be anointed three times as king. First by Samuel. Second by the group at Hebron. And third, 7 years later, when he became king over all of Israel. So it has to make us think, there's something in there that represents David's life and the life of Christ? Is it a comparison that we can look to? Perhaps David's life and his first anointing as king would represent Christ's coming and his first advent. His second will, where some would accept him, but many will refuse him. And his final advent, where all will have to accept Christ. But his first and second advents were a time of trial, a time of persecution, a time of testing, where only a few would come to true relationship with Christ. And I say that today to say again, we're never going to be the majority. We're never going to be the majority. If we're in the camp of David, if we're seeking Christ, we're never going to be the majority. And I'll say it up front. This house, this ministry, this is not a part of Saul. This ministry is following Christ and him crucified. Amen. Amen, church. So how do we know? You say, well, Brother Chris, how do you know that we're following this? How do you know that we're doing this? Well, let's look at some of the attributes of the house of Saul. First of all, the house of Saul, if you're going to make Saul king, if you're going to exhort him, if you're going to put him at the top, if you're going to elevate him to a position of importance, we're going to have to look and we're going to have to realize, first of all, that being born again is not a prerequisite. Let me say that again. That's important. Being born again is not a prerequisite to being a part of the house of Saul. So many times in the church, we get people to come in and we do things. So we say, come on in. And people operate and they move and they get position in the church and they get jobs in the church. And they're not born again, church. Being a part of the house of Saul does away with this. They do away with the preaching that you're a sinner and you need to come to God. They do away with preaching that says you need a relationship with Christ. They no longer teach that we need to have relationship. We need to be forgiven of our sins and we need to place our faith in Jesus Christ. To be a part of the house of Saul, you simply have to be busy. You have to be active. You simply have to show up. You simply have to say, I'm this denomination. I'm that denomination. Well, I'm an independent. Well, I'm a Christian. You simply have to speak what you are. The house of Saul neglects the needs of man. The needs of man as a spiritual creature. It presents man as someone who is good. Someone who is by nature good. Someone who is capable of doing things on his own. Someone who is capable of freeing himself. Someone who is capable of performing ministry on his own. And it presents man as someone who is elevated. Above all, it presents man as someone who is elevated above all else. These are the attributes of the house of Saul. The house of Saul focuses upon what they belong to. Again, I'm this denomination. I'm that denomination. I go to this specific church. I'm an independent. I do this. I do that. In 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul says, "For are ye yet carnal? For whereas there is among you envy, strife, division, are you not carnal and walk as men?" If you tell people where you go to church, again, I'm this denomination, I'm that denomination. If you point out what you do, if you point out your role to people in your church, if you point out where and not why you go to church, you're going to the house of Saul. You're going to the camp of Saul. Now, don't get me wrong, family. I love this church. You guys that know me, you know the struggle that goes into this church. You that work in the church, you love this church. You know the upkeep it takes to keep this thing going. Okay? I love this church, but I don't attend this church because it's Crossway Community Church. I don't attend this church because Pastor Greg Browning is here. I don't attend this church because it's close to my house. I attend this church because this ministry puts Jesus Christ above all else. That's why I attend this ministry. The house of Saul, again, doesn't do that. The house of Saul puts other things before Jesus Christ. The house of Saul walks carnally. They present themselves as being important because of who they are, because of what they're associated with. Just like the church began in 1 Corinthians, the house of Saul might say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. They walk carnally regarding their relationship. They walk in the world as opposed to being in the Spirit. They walk after things. They might walk after miracles. They might walk after a certain ministry. They might walk after a singer, after a certain preacher. The house of Saul looks at carnality, their performance, how they work. Well, I did a good job today. That's great. I must be doing the right thing. They look at what they did. Did they go hand out bottles this week? Bottles of water to the sick, to the poor. Did they go to the shelter? Did they give out food? Did they stand on the street corner? Did they witness? And church, these are all good things, but by itself, it's not ministry. Because you hand out bottles of water on the street corner, that doesn't mean you're preaching the cross. That doesn't mean you're giving what God has given to you in your heart to give to people. All right? If you're out on the street corner and you're preaching and you've got bottles of water sitting there, that's great. People need a drink. I totally agree with it. But handing out bottles of water by itself, having a get-together and eating or playing cards or doing something like that is not ministry. Church, I love to get together and play cards. I love to play a good game of euchre. But because you invite people together to play euchre and you call it a ministry event, you're not ministering. You're playing cards, church. You're playing cards, okay? Fellowship is good. I love to get together with people and go out and do things, to get together and watch the football game, to get together and go out to eat. But it's not ministry. Coming together as a body of Christ, coming together as followers, as people who put Christ first and exhorting Him, church, and reaching out to those who are in need and sharing with them the message that Christ has given us of Him and of Christ and Him crucified, church, that is ministry. The house of Saul walks carnally. Activity and the events around it are of the carnal mind. The camp of Saul walks with the idea that it can fight with carnal weapons. Paul would write, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Mighty through God. Saul's house tries to bring freedom, tries to bring deliverance, tries to bring freedom from sin, freedom from addiction. Saul's house tries to do these things by its own works. Let's go have an encounter. Let me come and you tell me all your secrets and then you'll be free. Let's go and let's fast for a whole week because fasting will do it. Let's go and let's do certain things. Let's have a men's retreat. Let's have a women's retreat. Church, these things are the activities surrounded by it. But these things are not going to free us. These things are not going to set us free. If we get together and we have a men's conference, let's do it. But let's make Jesus Christ the focus of it and not that I'm a man. If you get together and have a women's conference, let's make Jesus Christ the conference and not that you're a woman. Let's not have an encounter. I don't need to tell you my sins. You got your own sins to worry about. Amen? Amen. God needs to know my sins. The Holy Spirit is going to work on me, and He's going to deal with me, and He's going to work on my heart. The house of Saul wants to know, don't they? The house of Saul wants to work carnally to know what your sins are, to know what is going on in your life, so they can, what? Use carnal things against you. The weapons of this warfare are not carnal, but for the house of Saul, they promote carnality, and it's what they depend on. Look at some of the ministries today. Again, you call the ministry and they're on TV, they're doing something, and they say, "You send me what? Oh, at the $500 level, you can get a certain type of blessing. At the $1,000 level, you can get an even better blessing. You get to the $5,010, whoa, man, what can I get for that?" They're promoting something that doesn't work in God's system. God doesn't care about the amount. The ministry, yes, it needs money, but God's going to do with that money what He pleases. It's not going to get a better blessing because I gave $5 and somebody else gave $10,000. It doesn't work that way. The house of Saul thinks carnally. To be free, what do we have to do? Call out to the name of Jesus. Call out and say, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need You. You are the only answer." And it's not based on my gift. It's not based on what I have. We're not acceptable because of where we go to church or what we do. We're not set free or liberated because of the events that we're involved in. Everything that surrounds those events are carnality. It's something that belongs in the house of Saul. Okay, what's the flip side, Brother Chris? The house of David. Remember David being our heavenly Jesus. The house of David, number one, demands that every true believer be what? Truly born again, truly saved, truly having their faith solely planted in Jesus Christ. The house of Saul demands our faith be proper. It demands that whatever amount of faith we have, that it be placed in the proper and the exact place. Demands that it be placed in the redemption plan. Demands that we seek Christ over everything. Those that walk in the house of David, they want to make David king. They want to make Jesus king. They are daily presenting themselves. They're yielding themselves to the cross of Christ daily. We read in our text, day by day, I'm daily doing this. It's a daily walk, church. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a Wednesday thing. It's not, I'm going to come here and do this when it's Christmas time. It's a daily walk. And church, sometimes it's hard. I know it's hard. It's hard to get up sometimes and have that daily communion. But if the Holy Spirit is operating in us the correct way, if we're placing our faith in the right spot, Holy Spirit's going to do the work and we don't have to. Okay? Daily presenting ourselves, yielding ourselves to the cross, allowing God to give us the power we need to become instruments through our members. Instruments through our members because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And let me say it again. If we present ourselves to Christ, Father, it's not me. Father, there's no good in this man. Father, it can only be through you that you're going to do the work. Father, cleanse me. Do a work in me. Protect me. Kill this fleshly man. Let your spirit shine through. This is the prayer of the house of David. If we approach relationship in this way, in God's way, the Holy Spirit is going to see that unity. He's going to honor that unity. You might say, well, Brother Chris, I can't get around this on my own. You're right. You can't. You're not going to get around that thing on your own. But the Holy Spirit is going to see you yielding. He's going to understand where your heart is, and He's going to help you. Can I get a witness this morning? Has the Holy Spirit ever helped anyone get through something? Church, come on, I need more than that this morning. I know this body. I know this church. I know what He's done in your lives. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work for us. The Holy Spirit is going to perform the work. At that point, the Holy Spirit has the freedom to create and to take away, to be the spiritual surgeon in our lives, to remove things that ought not be there, to place things that need to be there, to make our instruments of righteous warfare, to give us talents that we need to use in the house of David. For in the house of David, we know how to have relationship with God. We know we have to be born again. We know we have to be filled with the Spirit. We know we have to be submissive to Christ and what He's done for us at Calvary, that we might become the men of war that He wants us to be. The choice is yours this morning. I can't make it for you. Pastor Browning can't make it for you. Pastor Paul can't make it for you. None of us can make it for you. The choice, church, this morning is yours individually and ours congregationally. Will you run to the house of Saul? Will you try to elevate Saul? It has its appeals, doesn't it? Or will you be a part of the house of David, a part that wants to make Jesus king over all? The attributes of those who want to make David king, again, you have to be born again. You have to be filled with the Spirit. God is making those who call upon Him men and women of war. He's given you a distinct place in the ministry. He's given you a distinct calling in your life. He's given you a distinct calling in your workplace, in your church, in your family. He's calling you out and saying, this is what I need you to do. If you are in fact pursuing the right camp, you're making Jesus king, then there's going to be certain attributes that God is going to place in you when you're presenting yourself daily to the cross of Christ, daily to God's redemption plan. God is going to provide these things. The Holy Spirit is going to do the work. And the Holy Spirit, which is God's grace, His effectual working, is working to build in us daily, daily, church. We might fight something for so long. You might come up here and you might pray to this altar 10 times, 20 times. You might pray for a year. Well, one day the Holy Spirit is going to come in and He's going to do the work and He's going to take care of whatever that thing is for you. All right? When you first came to your heavenly Jesus, you were in discontent. You were in distress, and you were in debt. You were in discontent. You didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know the plan for your life. You were in distress. Your heart was hurting. You didn't know that you were going to make it to heaven. You didn't know that there was a Savior out there willing to take your hand and to provide for you and you are in debt because of the sin debt that you were placed under. When you first came to David, you came for protection. You said, I cannot make it without you. I need you, Lord, for everything. And in return, the Holy Spirit came in. The blood of Christ saved you. The Holy Spirit entered your body and began to work on things that you could never work on. And at that moment, he started making you into a man of war, to a man or woman of war for him. He started doing the work. I'm trying to get you to see that you've entered into relationship, and he's molding you to be a part of the kingdom. Well, I'm not important. You are important, church. Every person in the body is going to be important. He's got a work and a calling for each one of us. He's molding you, not so you can just be blessed, not so you can do whatever you want to do for today, not so you can be the best you want to be. He's molding you into a man and woman of war for his righteousness, for his kingdom, with a plan that he has predetermined for you. And in fact, you've entered into relationship. You're pursuing the house of David. You're elevating not Saul, but you're elevating Jesus Christ or David. And in fact, that is where everything should happen for us, is at the feet of Jesus. Everything we need, church, should be right there. Everything we need should be found in him. His workmanship is created unto good works. When he is working in you, it's going to be evident. You're not going to have somebody pat you on the back. And it's good to have a pat on the back. It's good to know when you did a good job. But the Holy Spirit is going to confirm in you that God is working and he is moving in your life. Okay? He's producing a man of war. He's not producing a man or a woman. Ladies, I'm including you. He's not producing a man of sit still. He's not producing a man of stay at home. Not a man that doesn't have a part in the kingdom. We all have our part in the kingdom. We need to get out. We need to do what God has placed us to do. He's making the children that respond to him into men and women of war, of righteousness, using the warfare that he has given us. I know that most of the church they don't believe this. They don't want to do this. Why? Because it's going to cause them to fight. Most of the church, they don't want to fight. What do they want? A Bless Me Club. Well, I want to come to church on Sunday morning and pastor is going to teach me a good lesson and I'm going to learn something and he's going to speak to me. And that's going to be good. Church isn't always like that. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has something to say and it's not exactly what we woke up wanting to hear that morning. Okay? The house of Saul, they hear what they want to hear. The house of David is getting true revelation from Christ and what he did. The house of Saul is following the guidebook that God has given us. The house of Saul is not. They're looking to the world. They're looking to carnality. He's making us respond as children of him to become men and women of war. The house of Saul. Again, you don't have to be born again. All you have to be worried about is you. All you have to do is worry about what you did this week, what the church is doing this week, what program that you're going to go to. But the house of David, no. The house of David, we're looking to Christ. Christ is equipping us. He's making us into men and women of war. He places you where you need to be. He gives you what you need to have. Not just in this body, church, I'm talking in your everyday life. I'm talking when you're out to lunch with your friends, when you're out shopping with your girlfriends, when you're walking down the street. We need to be open, church. We need to be in the Spirit at all times, knowing that someone's watching us or God's going to send us someone that may need blessed, that may need the message that you have in them, that may need you to sit down and care about them. I was at lunch this week, and we were sitting there eating, and everybody that I work with, they know that I'm a youth pastor, and so they don't bring up religion too much. I work with several different ones, but you know, the guys I was at lunch with, one was a Catholic, and one was a Buddhist, and one was he was agnostic. He just didn't care. And he came up and they said, well, you believe this and Christians are radical. I said, Christians aren't radical. And so what do you mean? We saw this and we saw that. I said, a true Christian is not that. A true Christian is someone who is doing the work of the Lord, who is telling people about Christ and him crucified. they said, well, the Bible has all kinds of misconceptions, and the Bible has this, and the Bible has this. And I got time, and the Holy Spirit opened that door right at that moment. He said, now is the time to explain it. And I got to take the whole lunch hour and explain the message of the cross. I got to explain how this Bible's laid out. I got to explain what God wants to do in your lives. It's up to them now, but God opened the door. The Holy Spirit did the work. The Holy Spirit made the opening for me. God is equipping us. He's equipping us, church, in our personal lives and our church lives to do what He wants us to do, to do what He's called us to do. We're not here for our own devices. I'm not here for me. I'm not here for you. I'm here for what God wants me to do. If what God wants me to do is for you, then that's right. But if God wants me here to be ministered to myself, that's what I'm here for, church. You come to church not just to get, but to give. Not just to get, but to give. God's calling on your life is forever. As soon as you make that commitment, God's calling is there. He's on you. He's going to give you the tools. He's going to give you the ability. He's going to give you the talent and the means to do what He wants you to do. Your goal in life as a Christian, it should be to make Jesus king. That's as easy as it is. To make Jesus king. To tell others what He's done for you. To tell others about the message that He's put in your heart. If you're being worked on by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's because you've embraced the house of David. You have embraced true relationship with God. Now, church, I know that we've all had that moment. I hope that we've all had that moment where the Holy Spirit has come down and He's spoken to us. He's looked at us and He said, today is your day. Today is the day that I'm going to start using you. Today is the day where you're going to come into the kingdom. Today is the day where I'm going to tell you where your ministry is at. Today is the day where I'm going to use you. Church, it's a sweet, sweet feeling when the Holy Spirit comes down and He tells you. It's going to be confirmed by others in the church, but when the Holy Spirit tells you, you know it's of God. You know it's of God. We're not just here to soak things in. We're not just here to come and hear a beautiful message every Sunday morning. The ministers of this church, every single one of them, can come up here and give you a beautiful sermon. All right? They can come up here and tell you what you want to hear. But we're not here just to soak it in. And that's you, new Christian. That's you, old Christian. That's you, teenager, young person, wore out Christian, on fire for God Christian. We're not just here to soak things in. We're here to do what God wants us to do. To take what this church is preaching and take it out to the world that we have to live in. You're a man of war. God has an assignment for you. God has a purpose in your life. He has a rank and file for you to be in. God has a reason why He's placed you where you are. You say, well, where I'm at is tough. It is sometimes. It is tough sometimes. But God has placed you there to learn something, to be ministered to, or to minister to somebody else. It might not be the Ritz Hyatt downtown where you're staying at, right? It might be the bottom of the bin barrel where you're at right now. But God has got you there for a reason. You've got to seek Him, church. You've got to seek Him and figure out, Lord, why do you have me here for? What's going on? Why am I here? Is it for me? Am I supposed to minister to somebody else? What's going on? You're a man or a woman of war. God has a reason. Again, you came to Jesus Christ and you were discontent. You were in distress and you were in debt. And in return, what did He do to you? He protected you. He changed you. And He paid that entire sin debt, family. Come on, that's worth an amen. He paid that entire sin debt on Calvary. Everything that you ever did in your life, right there in front of you, wiped clean, white as snow at that point. He paid it in full. He's molding you. He's molding me. He's molding this ministry into a man, a woman, a ministry of warfare for Him, that we might make Jesus Christ king. But it's not done by one or two. It's not done, as we said in the beginning, by the majority. God is calling those few out. He's calling those individuals out. He's calling those church bodies out that are willing to make Jesus Christ king. In our text, out of all the fighting men that came, it looks like there were perhaps maybe a quarter or one-fourth of the fighting men that joined themselves to David. A quarter. The other three-fourths went to Saul. A quarter. And of that quarter, Judah was one of the smallest tribes. Judah, was one of the smallest tribes that came. All right? It's not going to be done by the majority church. It's going to be done by the few that want to make David king. We're never going to be a majority. So if you want to be a majority, you're going to have to go over to Saul's house because they got lots of people over there. You can do lots of things. You can see lots of laser light shows. You can go all to all the tea parties and euchre tournaments that you want to, but they're not making Jesus Christ king. If you don't want opposition, you don't want people to talk about you, you don't want people to talk bad about you, you don't want people calling you names, you don't want to accomplish anything for the kingdom of God, the house of Saul is wide open. They'll accept you today. You can walk right in and just sit down and be a part of the furniture. It's not going to be a problem. But you're going to be wasting your life. You're going to be wasting the talent that God has given to you, the talent that God has placed in you, the calling, the place that God has put you in if you make that decision. The cry of our heart should be, Lord, what you want is what I want. What you want for me is what I want. And that calling could change. He might have you over here for a minute. And he might move you over here. It's going to be where you're at in that time. Because as Christians, we're going to grow. If we're in right relationship with God, those things are going to happen. And we're going to learn more and do more. And Christ is going to be able to use us in other areas. But if we're in the right relationship, it's going to be Christ, Lord Jesus, what would you like me to do? Where would you put me at? What can I do for you? Again, when you came, you were in discontent. You were in debt. And you were in distress. But the Lord Jesus, thank the Lord, he took you in. He healed you. He healed me. He saved you. He put the Holy Spirit in your life. He set your feet on solid ground. He gave you the means to know everything you need to know. We talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago in a Wednesday night class that everything we need, church, is in this Bible. Anything that we're going to go through financially, in our families, in our workplace, in our church, is held right here. If we're making Christ king, if we're using the word, the message that he's given to us, the answer, church, is in this book. He's given you every tool that you're going to need. And all he asks is that you allow him to make you a man or a woman of war, to elevate your purpose, your goal in life, to his goal and not your own. We're never going to be a majority, so get over it. We're not going to be the biggest ones out there. That's fine. I don't know if Crossway Community Church will ever turn into a mega church. I don't know how full these seats will be. But what I know is if you walk in this church, you're going to get the message of the cross. Whoever's behind this pulpit, you're going to get the message of the cross. You're going to have a chance to get saved. You're going to have a chance to get free. You're going to have a chance to have your mind healed, to have your body touched. And you're going to have enough gospel when you leave this church to go out and win your friends. The heart's cry should be, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're never going to be a majority, but we're always going to be enough. So be real. Be honest. Know who we are. But more than anything, know who Christ is and what he did for us in our life. Use your testimony. Use where he took you from. Use where he's going to take you. Use what he's given you. Tell people what he's told you. Because they're going to believe it because it's coming from you. He's making you into a man of war, to a woman of war. He's teaching your hands, your talents, to war for the spiritual kingdom of God. Well, he's not doing that in me. I come to church all the time, and he ain't never... What are you doing? What's your focus on? Is your focus on you? Is your focus on what so-and-so's wearing? Is your focus on, I didn't like this song, or I didn't like what pastor preached today, or I didn't like what so-and-so sang, or... It didn't do this, or the sun's not shining, or, hey, there's a cute little rabbit out there. What's your focus on? Your focus should be on Christ and him crucified. Your focus, your prayer should be, Lord, here I am, incapable on my own of becoming what you want me to be. I don't have anything in me good, God, but I come to you in faith by what Christ has done for me at the cross, the shed blood that was shed on Calvary, and you're going to do in me what you're going to do. You're going to make in me what you need to make. It might start out small, but if you keep your faith in Christ, he's going to work in you something you never ever thought would come out of you. Something you never ever thought he would do a work in you. We're being molded, church, into warriors. This church is being molded into warriors. This church for the past 4 years has been molded into warriors for the kingdom. In this grouping of warriors, there's going to be leaders. There's going to be heads, there's going to be captains, and there's going to be troops, just like it was in the text that we read. and I encourage you to go back and read it and look at how they were divided out. There's going to be troops, there's going to be leaders, there's going to be heads, there's going to be captains. And the same thing is going to happen in the kingdom of Jesus, in the camp of David. All right? The greatest way to have a problem in the army is not to recognize the place that God has given us in the army and to desire a design that God has not given us. To desire a design that God has not given us. So what's wrong? What's wrong with just being a trooper in the church? What's wrong with being the everyday foot soldier? There's nothing wrong with it. God's going to place you where He needs to place you. God's going to do with you what He needs to do. God is going to promote you as you grow. But how many people do you think the troopers have saved in this world just because you said, hey, so-and-so, we might work on you at a machine at your shop next to you. Hey, why don't you come to church with me? And they might tell someone else, hey, why don't you come to church to me? The person in the cubicle next to you, hey, man, I know you're going through a hard time. I know you just had a divorce. I know you just had this or that or whatever. Can I tell you about the Lord? Can you give me just a few minutes? Why don't you come to church with me? This is how the body grows, of your personal testimony, of the trooper's personal testimony, to get those who need Christ into the body of Christ, to get them into a place where they can be ministered to. Being in the kingdom doesn't mean you have to stand behind this pulpit. Doesn't mean you have to get up and sing. Doesn't mean you have to run sound. Doesn't mean you have to teach a class. Doesn't mean you have to play the piano. Doesn't even mean you have to sing in the choir. But it does mean you need to come in and you need to make Christ king. You need to come in and you need to focus on what God is doing. Being a mighty man of war doesn't mean that you have to preach. Doesn't mean that you have to sing. Doesn't mean that we have to go out and start up a church every other week. All right? Doesn't mean that you have to be a missionary. And all these things are good. Missionaries are good. When you can send somebody out of your church to start a church, that's good. Christ wants us to do that. God wants us to do that. But it's got to be in His timing. God's going to do it. God's going to take care of it. Being a part of the army means that you recognize where God has placed you. And you understand His design for you. You understand His design for you. All right? In my job, when I'm building the things, there's a lot of times we have to architect things and we have to do things. And so many times we'll get people that come in from the outside and they just don't know what's going on. They say, hey, can you fit this in here or this way? And it just doesn't fit. It's like the little kid's blocks, you know? You try to put the square in the star, it just doesn't go, okay? We have to understand what God has designed for us. Those of you who build and do things and construct, you understand that the design has to match. The design has to come together. The design won't work right. It won't be stable. It won't hold the load unless the design is correct and it's been built correct. Our design has to be what God has designed us for. We have to accept our part willingly. We have to be a part of the object. We have to subject ourselves to the leadership that God has put in front of us. And that leadership in the church should be looking totally and wholly to what Christ did at the cross. Totally and wholly to what God is doing. Totally and wholly to what this word says. And if it's outside of that church, you have to test it. Every moment you have to test it and make sure that what God is doing is designed by Him. Now I know that's kind of hard to preach. It's not exactly what we want to hear this morning. But just as in the world, just as in Saul's camp, many people like to build the my four and no more. Anybody in the world have anybody that likes to do that, build their own kingdom and their job? I got them that work with me, sure. They like to do things. They like to build things. They like to side road the process at work and build their own kingdom. The body of Christ should be in one, should be in unity, making Jesus king. God has tied us together, family, each and every one of us, so that we can come together and we can make Christ king. We can share in His kingdom. We can make Him first. We can put Him above all. We can elevate Him above. Again, it's going to be the minority church. It's not going to be the majority. But with that, our part can't be the same as everybody else's. We can't do everything. We all can't be the preacher. If we're all up here preaching, if we're all up here singing, there's not going to be anybody to preach or sing to. If we all have to teach a class on Wednesday, we all cannot have the same position. But your part to play, and the beautiful thing of your part to play, is it's not the same as everybody else's. There's going to be leaders. There's going to be people that God places in front of us to lead us, to guide us, men that know what God's doing. There's going to be the leaders of the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And those things should be active in the church. We should see those ministries in our church because God is building up the saints. He's building up the troops to do those things. But we're all not going to be able to have the same position. Those that are making Jesus king are coming from all over the world. They're coming from all different ministries. Different leaders in ministries have to come and submit themselves under Christ, saying, yes, we're going to make Jesus Christ king. Yes, we're going to follow what Christ has done for us. Yes, we're going to do what God is doing right now. Every tribe in our text was represented at Hebron when they made David king. We have to come together as a family, as a body, as a church, as a congregation, as an individual, and put Christ above all else if we want to make David king. We're not the only one, church, but we're one of the few that have come together and we have put Christ where he needs to be. We're not the only ones, but we're one of a few. Okay? I thank God for the leadership of this church. If it weren't for the leadership of this church, I wouldn't be in right relationship with God right now. Many of you would not be in right relationship with God right now if it wasn't for the leadership of this church. You wouldn't know God as you ought to know him. If it wasn't for the message of Christ and him crucified, I'd be working in the house of Saul, because that's how I was raised, church. I was raised to perform. I was raised to do my best, to do what Chris could do. I wasn't raised to do what God can do in me. I was working for the house of Saul. If it wasn't for the message of the cross, for the leadership of this church, for the true understanding of God's word, I would be in the house of Saul. If it wasn't for the message that was preached to me and the Holy Spirit opened up to me, when I'm guided into personal relationship with God, it should guide me straight to Jesus Christ. There should be no off-roads. There should be no other paths. There should be one straight way. And that's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Any ministry that you follow should lead you directly to Christ and him crucified. Ministry needs money. If you want to give to him, that's what the Holy Spirit and you have to discuss. But make sure that that ministry that you're giving to is putting Christ above all. Make sure that that ministry that you're supporting is putting Christ above what they want, above what the leadership of that church wants, above the things that they think they need in ministry. God's going to provide. When I went to that little church last night, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was a small country church. That's all I knew. You know what? They had a nice building. God provided. They got a small body. 15, 20, maybe. Wonderful little building. Church pews. Full instrumentation on the stage. And they had the Holy Spirit. When you walked in the door, you knew that you were home. You knew that you were with family. All right? God is going to give us everything we need. You don't know how important it is that God has put you in this body, that God has made you a man of war, that God has opened up the message to you, that God has placed the Holy Spirit in your life at such a time as this. You don't know how important you are to the church. Family, keep yourself focused. Keep yourself focused on the message of the cross. I know it gets difficult out there. I know when you can't be at church and things come up and the world comes in and starts attacking. I know it's difficult. But you've got to make David king. You've got to make Jesus Christ king. And the Holy Spirit is going to clean that up for you. Your placement in this body, the Holy Spirit's placement in your heart is not by accident. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that one day you just walked in and the Holy Spirit spoke to you. It's not a coincidence that one day the Holy Spirit knocked on your heart and said, come up and get prayed for. It's not a coincidence that somebody called you on the phone one day and said, hey, I think you're having a hard time. Can I pray with you? It's not a coincidence. God has a plan for your life, and it's to be a man of war. The Spirit of God has drawn you in to make you a mighty part of what is about to happen in the spiritual realm, to make Jesus king. So what's my part? Brother Chris, what's my part? What do I do? I can't tell you that. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you that. All right? The Holy Spirit is going to make that real to you. The Holy Spirit's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I need you to fill in over here. Hey, I need you to head up this. And then somebody's going to confirm it in you. The leadership of the church is going to say, yeah, we believe God's going to do that in you. But the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you. You don't need somebody to call you out up front and say, hey, this and that and the other. The Holy Spirit's going to confirm it, and the leadership is going to confirm the Holy Spirit in that. So what do we do? How do we do this? Troops, give and pray. Give and pray. Give of your time. Give of your talent. Give of your finances. Give us prayer. This church, this body, it needs prayer. These leaders of this church, they need prayer. Sometimes you don't understand what it is to get up here and get behind this pulpit for our pastor after he hasn't had the time that he's wanted to study. If you know him, if you know his heart, he loves to spend countless hours in the Word. There was times in a previous church I'd go into his office and you could tell, I could tell he'd been there all day. It had been a while and it was nighttime and he'd been there all day. Pray for the leadership of this church. Whoever's behind this pulpit, pray for them. Whoever's singing up here, they need your prayers because Satan's trying to attack them. They're trying to attack you because the message that you have. Give and pray. Give of your life. Give of your finances. Give of your time. Give of your prayer. Troops, you don't know how important the giving status that you have is. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about the things that you as an individual can give to a ministry. I'm talking about the things that you can do. God has placed you here because you have a talent, because he's growing a talent in you, because he's making you a man of war. He called you to be a giver, not just a receiver. He called you to be a prayer. He called you to be a prayer warrior, to pray for this body, to pray for this congregation, to pray for the needs that you know about, to pray for the needs that you don't know about. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's not all about this church. It's not all about Pastor Browning and Sister Browning. And I love them. But it's not all about all that. It's all about making Jesus Christ king. I love the leadership of this church. Pastor's probably going to go back and listen to this message. So anything I say here, he's going to know I said it. I love the leadership of this church. But let me tell you what. The leadership of this church understands that we're here to make Jesus king. When our children go back and learn about God, they're learning about making Jesus king. They're learning the message of Christ and him crucified. Any minister that gets behind this pulpit is learning or is teaching Christ and him crucified. The songs we sing should be reflecting. We should be singing Christ and him crucified. Again, I love the leadership of this church, but the leadership of this church is solely focused on making David king. I'm a part of this ministry, but this ministry has one goal in mind, church. You're a part of this ministry, but this ministry has one goal in mind, to make Jesus king. Thank God for the heads. Thank God for the troops. Thank God for the people that God has placed. God has called out. God has called to do specific things. Thank God for them. If God calls you to come here in the morning and get with Brother Paul and say, Brother Paul, I want to pray with you in the morning. Do it. Get up and pray with him. He needs your help. If God calls you to come up and sing, get with Michelle. Say, Michelle, I want to sing. If God wants to call you to teach a class, let the pastor know. He's going to confirm it in you. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Let the Holy Spirit use you in the design and the ministry that you were designed to do. Men of war. God is making us men of war. But as men of war, we understand our position. We're loyal to the purpose. We're loyal to the person that has called us, which is Jesus Christ. We're loyal to him day in and day out. We're loyal to what God is doing. We're loyal to the house of David. This is the house of David, church. It's not the only house of David, but it's one of the few. So what's your part? To give all that you can of your life, of your talent, of your prayers, everything that God has given you, to give and pray. Is the focus of your life to make Jesus king? Is that the focus of our life every day, daily, to make Jesus Christ king? What is the focus of this church? I just told you, to make Jesus king. Well, Brother Chris, I'll come to church as long as Michelle sings that one song I like. I really like that one song. I'll come on the day she sings that. Well, I'll come to church if Pastor stops yelling so loud. I'll just come to church if Pastor starts running down and stops running down the aisle. I'll come to church if this or that. Put anything in there, church. That shouldn't be our focus. Our focus is to come together and to make Jesus Christ king. That is the focus about the church. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about making Jesus Christ king. Men of war know their position. They're knowledgeable. We read in our text, they're knowledgeable of handling the instruments of war. we notice there that they came ready armed. They were already armed. They already had the message. This body already has the message. You've been under this message enough that you have the message. You can go out and you can come against those things in the world. They carry the shield of faith. They know how to use the spear of the Word of God. And more than anything, they're men of faith. Their faith is in Christ. Their faith is in Christ and Him crucified. We need men of faith. We need men of war. We see these men and how they're described in chapter 11 and 12 as they crossed over the River Jordan in 12:15. They crossed over when the flood banks were overflowed. They traveled across hindrances of supernatural obstruction to get to their objective. Men of war look at impossible things and say, you know what, church? We can do this. You know what, church? We might not have the money right now, but we're going to get there. You know what, church? We're going to go out and we're going to do this. Men of war have the faith to let God handle it and know that He's going to do it, all right? If the Lord is pleased with us, our enemies are bred for us. Jordan at flood tides, those men said, no problem, let's go. God be before us. But I need to get the troopers to grab hold of the instruments of war. I need to get you to understand that God has given us everything. I need you to get to dig down inside of you and understand that the motivation comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from the camp, from the house of Saul. It comes from God's camp, the Holy Spirit motivating us to do what needs to be done. Ministry's hard. I'm not going to lie to you. Ministry's hard. But with God before us, He's going to make a way for everything to happen. I want you to get a hold of it. You're a mighty man of war, and you're going to be able to overcome supernatural feats. You're not going to be afraid because God is going to take that fear from you. The Holy Spirit's going to do the work in you. The Holy Spirit's going to make a way for you to get over that. We need leaders. We need heads. We need captains. We need troops that all of us understand that we're trying to make Jesus king. We're trying to elevate Him above all else. We're trying to elevate Him above anything that we can do in ourselves. We need men who understand the times, who have discernment, just like our text said, who have discernment. Do you know where the body of Christ is right now? Do you understand the importance of this church, this small group of people, this small body who understands Christ and Him crucified? Do you understand your importance in the kingdom? Do you have knowledge? Or is it just church like normal? Just come and show up. It's just another year. I hope the stock market doesn't go down anymore. Hope the president doesn't do any worse. Hope it doesn't affect me. Hope that I get what I need, me. I hope that I realize what I've been dreaming for this year, me. Me, 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 me. Or do we know what God is doing in the earth? Do we see what time it is? Do we understand that the Holy Spirit is getting ready to do a supernatural move across this globe and this church is a part of it? God wants men who can keep rank. They know their marching orders. They do not break line. He wants troops that want to follow Him to make Christ king. They want to stand up. They want to tell their friends. They want to tell their neighbors. They want to tell their co-workers that Jesus Christ is king. They want to get up and daily present themselves to Christ and Him crucified. They want to make Jesus king. The house of David wants men who are not of a double heart, who do not come and do things in church on Sunday and Wednesday and go out and do things on another day, who do not have their faith in Jesus Christ on Sunday and their faith in the best football team on Monday, who have their faith in Jesus Christ, not of double heart, not of a man, not of a ministry, but have their faith solely squared with Jesus Christ. Men not of double heart. Men with a single purpose, as the men in our text read, to make David king. Michelle, if you could come. I come to this message, and I'll tell you, church, I'm ashamed because I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me this morning. I see in my own life how much the grace of God has to do, how much work the grace of God has to do here. This message is for me. This message is to make me and to make you an adequate man of war, for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to keep ourselves focused. I came 20 years ago. I was in debt. I was in distress. I was discontent. I was caught up in the things of the world. And I came to a man named Jesus, and he saved me. And he set me free. And he did it in an instant. But 8 years ago, God came back again, and he said, you know what? There's more. There's more. You're in Saul's camp. You're over in Saul's camp. Come over to the house of David. Come over to the house of David. Let me show you what true relationship is. Let me show you what I'm going to do for you. Let me show you what I can do in your life. Let me show you what I can do in your family. Let me show you what I can do with the needs that you have. Church, we've all got needs. Every Wednesday and Sunday we come in here and we pray for the needs. The Holy Spirit can touch those needs. He can take care of those needs. He can do in us in an instant what we can try to work a lifetime for. But I find in preparation of this message that it's going to take a lot more grace to get me where I need to be. It's going to take a lot more work of the Holy Spirit to continue to work in my life, to make me a man of war. I don't have all the attributes that I need, church. But you know what? I know where to get them at. I know what to do. I know how to find them. I've got to be of single mind. I've got to know how to march where God has placed me at. I've got to be discerning by the Holy Spirit of the time and what's going on. And I've got to be working according to the way that God has placed in his word for me. Not for me. Not for this world. Not being busy, but work in the work that God has given me. To elevate Jesus Christ as King. Not anyone else. Not myself. Not this pastor. Not anybody. But Jesus Christ. To pursue the things of Christ in this world. And not myself. He's making us men and women of war. He's trying to bring us to the camp of David, to the house of David, to the house of Jesus Christ. If you could just bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. I just want you to think, where am I this morning? Am I in the house of David? Am I making Christ king? Is the Holy Spirit working on me? If you can answer yes, then you're in the house of David and he's going to do the things he said he would do. But if you're thinking to yourself, that's not where I'm at this morning. Brother Chris, I'm not there. I'm not in the house of David. Maybe I used to be, but I'm not anymore. Maybe I never have been, but I want to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. By the grace of God, he can do it this morning. In the twinkling of an eye, he can change your entire life. He can change your outlook. He can change your needs. He can change your position in this world, in your job, in your family. He can make you a mighty man or woman of war. This morning, if you say, Brother Chris, I'm in the house of Saul. Or Brother Chris, I'm not saved at all. I don't know what house I'm in. I just want you to think about it for a little while. Do you want Jesus to enter in? Do you want him to heal your heart? Do you want him to heal your mind? Do you want him to take the distress away? Do you want him to take the confusion away? Do you want him to take the guilt for whatever's happened in your life away? If you would say, yeah, I need that, I'm going to answer yes to that, would you just lift your hand right now? Would you just lift your hand with no one looking around? Say, yes, I want to come in and know what you're talking about. I want to know Christ as my Savior. I want to know this forgiveness of guilt, this forgiveness of sin, this overwhelming joy. I'll just wait a few minutes. A few seconds, church. Just by lifting up your hand, we're not going to embarrass you. See that hand? All right. If you're in your seat and you prayed that prayer and you said you raised your hand and you said, yes, that's me. I want to do it. I want what you're talking about. I'd like you to make a bold step right now. And I'd like you to come up to the front of the church. I'm going to have a few ladies come and a few men come and pray. And they're going to walk you through the sinner's prayer. They're going to help you understand the decision that you've made. Again, this is a joyous occasion, church. I don't want any guilt right now. I want total joy as you come up to the front here. Could you just step out and could you come up to the front if you raised your hand? Okay. Again, you shouldn't be embarrassed. Let's just pray as a congregation the sinner's prayer. Lord Jesus, if you would just repeat after me, church. I come to you, Lord, and I'm a sinner. There's nothing good in me, Lord Jesus. There's nothing in my life that I've done good. But Lord, today, I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart. And I confess that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I claim your Holy Spirit power in my life that's going to work and reign over me this morning. Saint of God, if you just prayed that prayer, God just opened the doors for you. He just opened up the camp of David for you and said, come in, child. Come in. Come in. The doors are open and that slate has been wiped clean. You've got nothing to worry about. You've got no guilt that you need to be under anymore. Anything that you've done, he's forgotten about it. He's washed it by his blood. And he can start moving and working in you. Amen. Church, next. This is for you, church. If you want to be a part of the camp of David, if you want to be a part of the house of David, if you want to be a part of what Jesus Christ is doing, I'd like you to come up front. I'd like you to come to this altar. I'd like to pray. I'd like all of us to join together and pray that Jesus is going to do what he wants to do, that we as a body are going to decide to make Jesus Christ King. If you would come this morning as Michelle plays this song. Amen. Amen. I'd like to do this in two separate ways. First, I'd like to pray just congregationally. And then if there's any special needs, I'd like you to make your way to the front here, to the middle. That way we can get the elders of the church to pray with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again I come to you, Lord, and I confess, Lord Jesus, that I cannot do it on my own, Lord Jesus. This body confesses that we cannot do it on our own, Lord. Lord, we need you. We want to make you King. We want to elevate you, Lord Jesus, above all else, Lord. Lord, we don't want it to be about us. We don't want it to be about Crossway Community Church. We don't want it to be about our pastor or anybody in this church, Lord. But we want to focus on you, Lord Jesus. We want to be men and women of one heart, of one mind. We want to be able to keep rank and file. And we want to be discerning of the times, Lord Jesus, so we can know what's going on. Holy Spirit, I would ask this morning that you would do your work on this body, Lord Jesus. That you would do your work on each individual life, Lord Jesus. That you would touch me, Lord God, to do your work, to do your will, to make Jesus King. On a daily basis, that we can go out and we can say, God, it's you every day. It's not me. Kill this fleshly man and let your spirit come through. Lord, we thank you, Lord. And we claim it, Lord, as a body, Lord Jesus. Not individually only, but as a body, that we're here to make Jesus Christ King. That Crossway Community Church is not here to do anything other than make Jesus Christ King. To place him above all. To believe in the message of Christ and him crucified. We thank you, Lord, and we claim it right now. Now, if there be anyone that needs a special touch, church, God can heal. I saw it last night with my own eyes. People healed in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. If you need special prayer and you need your heart healed, I'm talking about the heart on the inside, the heart that tells you what's going on. Come up front and let's get prayed for. If you have a physical healing that you need, if you need a spiritual or emotional healing, now's the time, church. Make your way to the front. Try to get a few ladies up here. Lord Jesus.
Lord, you know her heart, God. You know the spirit that she's putting in her heart. But Lord, also you know what's going on. You know the need that she's come here for. Holy Spirit, I ask that supernaturally, Lord, that you would heal her. Lord, whether it be physical or spiritual or mental or in her family, Lord Jesus, or financial, Lord Jesus. Lord, you can do all things if our faith is in you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do your work right now. That you would touch her, Lord Jesus, as only you can. Lord, it's not by the laying on of my hands. It's not by the laying on of this body to you, Lord Jesus, except to lend faith, Lord. The Holy Spirit, you reside in her, and you can do it right now. You can make a way. I believe with all my heart and with all my faith that you can take care of whatever's going on. And Lord, we claim it right now by the sacrifice that was paid at your cross. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else who has a special prayer this morning? Anyone else? I've kept you a little bit over this morning, and I apologize for it. I hope it's been a blessing. I thank you for coming today. I ask that you just be blessed on your way out. And Brother Paul, if you just come.